Name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the 11th month, the 27th day in the year 2022, and it's the first Lord's Day in Advent, and it's also a feast day of Our Lady, the Miraculous Medal, which is a great, very great devotion we have to our Blessed Mother on the Miraculous Medal. She's stepping on the head of the serpent, and she delivers us from the devil's temptations and attacks and helps us to be holy and pure. And free from sin. She helps us to hate sin with a perfect hatred. And you're never going to stop sinning unless you hate it. So you got to ask God, I want to hate sin. So anyway, it's a great day for that. And so our lecture is going to reflect this day in the sense that our Blessed Mother was a defeater of the serpent. And she's still going to, she defeats him every day, all the time, protecting us. But she's going to give the ultimate defeat also in the final days. But we're going to, that's why our lecture today is going to deal with St. Judith. And she's a figure of the Blessed Virgin Mary, where she chopped off the head of the faithful Jew's great enemy, Holofernes. So we're going to talk about that during the lecture. Like I said, we're going to have a very big lecture this year for Christmas. We're going to be celebrating the Advent, the coming of Christ, but also we're going to be we're going to be exposing the Advent of someone else. The Advent of the Antichrist. Not his uncle, the aunt, okay? The Advent of the Antichrist. It's going to be big. I'm going to denigrate him. I'm going to mock him. I'm going to throw him in the mud. I'm going to humiliate him. I'm going to bust his head. With all of my might. Amen. And if it's not him, then it applies to the next guy. It's going to be one of them because that's what they're looking for. Yeah. And the devil knows it. This is a big Christmas lecture. And it's going to not be Christmas Day. It's going to be the day after Christmas. Oh, okay. Because Christmas Day, we do the full prayers. Mm-hmm. Is that the way we do it?
Yeah. We're not going to do the midnight. We used to, but no, we don't do it anymore.
We're not going to do anymore. Yeah. Right. We'll do it during the day, right. And then the next day after Christmas, we'll do the lecture. Okay. And it might go 2 days.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a gigantic lecture, so I want all the brothers to gather the information as much as you can with this Yanuka God, the Rabbi Shlomo Yehuda. I want to find out when he was born, the day he was born. I want to find out what he eats for breakfast. I want to find if he has any pets, has any cats, does he have any animals? Is he married? Who is he married to? Does he have any kids? Where did he live? When did he live where he lived? What did he do when he lived where he lived? So we want as much information on this God as we can get. And he's going to make himself public anyway because it has to happen. It's just something they want to happen too. So, but the timing is there, you know. So we have a couple weeks now to investigate this. Let's see, because what are we looking at here now? The 12th month. So that's it. We got this week, 2, 3. Basically, we have about 4 weeks. And it's interesting because the Christmas falls on the Lord's Day this year. Yeah.
We begin the new Antiphon for Compline tonight.
Oh, okay. Wait a second. Okay, tonight?
Yes,
and tonight, when you're doing Compline, do the new Antiphon. What do they call it, an Antiphon? For the Blessed Mother?
First Antiphon 1.
Yeah. Antiphon 1 is going to be this one right here.
Alma
Redemptoris. Your
favorite.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's hard to start out that one, yeah. I'm going to show you how great I sing. You guys want to fool around here. You ain't seen nobody sing till I sing. Let me see. Yeah, it's the first one, you see. Antiphon number 1 for the Lord's Day in Advent. And it goes like this. Loving Mother the Redeemer, open door to heaven and star to sea. Come quickly to the aid of thy people, fallen indeed but striving to stand again. To nature's astonishment, thou wast the mother of thy holy creator, without ceasing to be a virgin, and heard from Gabriel that greeting, Hail, have pity on us. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived the Holy Spirit. Let us pray, pour forth the beseech you, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion, his cross, be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ, O Lord. Amen. That's the Antiphon 1. And now we're going to sing it for you. Ama, Redemptoris Mater, Quae per via celi porta manes, et stella maris, succore cadenti, surge requi cora populo, tuque genuisti, natura mirante, tuum
sanctum genitore. Vir oprius a posterius Gabrielis amore sumens illud ave peccatorum miserere.
Not too bad.
Not
really
good.
That was,
yeah.
That was pretty good. I guess someone will help me on that one. It's hard, to start it out. It starts out like it's going to be lousy, you know? Mario does it better than all of us. I'm going to put him on the spot. Should I have him sing it? I'll just ask him. Mario, how did we do on that one? Mario?
Oh, really good. Really good.
Right. He has we know it's still to pronounce a Latin like
I know
him.
Exactly.
He's got the
roots. Right, it is good,
yeah. Hey, Mario, why don't you record it and post it up for us?
That'd be nice.
You know, you sing it.
Yeah, there are two versions.
Yeah. Okay, sing both. You don't have to do it now, but sing both versions and post it up in the music section for us.
Gregorian?
Yeah, Gregorian.
Get it.
Okay.
For night.
All right. Let's see. Yeah.
Did we say the, on the Lord's Day, the Advent prayer?
Oh, yeah, right. You're right.
Oh, infant Savior.
Yeah. Now, like on the Lord's Day in Advent, we pray on these cards the Advent resolution prayer. Only on the Lord's Day in Advent. I mean, Advent, the Lord's Day. And that's, you'll see it on the card there. So I'm going to pray that prayer right now.
You just do it right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Advent resolution prayer. O infant Savior, the prophets of old long for thy coming into the world. We long for thy return to our modern world. Another coming to thyself and thy principles into our pagan times. Only then will we breathe in a Christian atmosphere in which joy replaces sorrow, in which love casts out darkness. O Mary, our mother, be our model during this holy season. Christ was alive within thee during the first Advent. We want him to be alive within us more than ever during this Advent. May we not merely possess our precious Catholic faith, rather may it take complete possession of us, that wherever we go, whatever we do or say, it will be the Christ child that inspires us. We resolve to make our Christmas a holiday with Christ instead of a holy day with Christ instead of a holiday without him. We resolve to observe Christmas as the birthday of Christ, not as a day to give presents and merchandise. And we resolve to, I've got to make sure I corrected that, because we said not merely as a day to give merchandise. I don't think you should give presents at all. Mm-hmm. I think that, can somebody check online on my website to see if I corrected this prayer already? Go to my website and bring up the Advent Resolution Prayer. Right. And we resolve to help at least one poor family in honor of the Holy Family of Bethlehem. Finally, we promise every day to give glory to God in the highest and to work and pray for peace on earth among men of goodwill. Amen. Even the Father, the Son, and Spirit. Amen. Check out online my version, because I don't believe you should be given presents at all. Mm-hmm. So they spend all Advent buying presents for one another.
Yeah.
Instead of the whole meaning of the season, which is Christ. It's bullcrap. It's horrible. I'm not against people giving presents on your birthday or something, but this Christmas thing is crazy. The Jew invented it.
Yeah.
He's making millions of bucks off of this. People buying things they don't even need.
Yeah.
You're spending up your whole time just buying presents for one another.
Yeah.
And then you get the stupid Santa Claus on top of it. And then you got the presents. Oh, look at the presents for me.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with Christ.
No.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's a Jewish thing.
Yeah.
It's an apostate Jewish thing.
Yeah.
I don't know when it started, but it stinks. It stinks, Mick!
It's interesting how after Thanksgiving...
That's Mickey from the Rocky movie, remember?
Yeah. They have Black Friday. That's apropos.
Oh, yeah. Black Friday.
Black Friday.
Yeah,
they named it correctly.
And you see the people are in a frenzy. Like, it's capitalism, you know? And greed. It should be in the prayer session.
Yeah. It says, we resolve to observe Christmas as the birthday of Christ and not as a day to give and receive merchandise.
Got it, yeah. So look at the one online. This is the older one. And no, you don't give. You don't. I told you this story many times. My Italian. You marry an Italian with an Italian family? They got big families. We spent our whole Advent. And you only go to Mass. You know, like a nominal Catholic, you go to Mass on Christmas and Resurrection Day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she was... had a gigantic family from South from Philadelphia and all that, and they were also in other areas spread out. And so we spent the whole day of Christmas visiting her relatives and handing out presents. The whole day.
Yeah.
And by the time the day's over, that's all you did. You just were visiting, getting, and giving presents.
Yeah.
And that was about it.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
Oh.
One and done on that one, right? 1 year and done.
Yeah.
Like that's it.
That's what I told her. I said, no more. We're not doing this again. No way. No way.
Now, on Epiphany, if you wanted to, could you give a gift on Epiphany, or still no.
No.
Nothing?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Because it's the gift to Christ, not to me.
Right.
You're giving your gifts to Christ. I'm not giving them to me.
Right.
I'm not Christ.
Yeah.
And Epiphany, a lot of your, like Spanish,
right.
And Epiphany to them is their Christmas, because that's when he opened up the gate to the Gentiles.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that's another selfish thing, because the gifts were given to Christ, not to me.
Yeah.
You sit down there like a little, woohoo, thank you. As sinful as we were anyway, we didn't deserve presents anyway.
I know.
You know? I can see on a birthday you give some presents, you know.
Yeah.
But I always thought kind of like the present thing was weird anyway. I'm not against giving people something, but they would give you something you don't need, you don't want, a pair of socks, a t-shirt. What I thought was, just give people money and let them buy what they want.
That's what I thought.
Just give them money and say, here's money, you go buy what you want.
Yeah.
Like, it's there's a little...
I know.
You know, I used to say that, you know, like if some, these people, some of these women are like that, you know, if you don't buy them roses, there's a hug, they don't think you love them because you didn't buy them some roses. And here's the roses. Then you go out and you're committing adultery on her, right? But you gave her the roses, you know? Oh, he bought me some roses. How beautiful that is. Roses are beautiful.
Yeah, are.
We have them on our altar and all that. But it's weird, these symbolic things that people put their importance in. More important is how you live with your husband and wife should be the best friends. Husband and wife should be best friends 24/7. Not just when he gives you the roses. You know, so go, hey, I didn't get no roses for 1 year. I can't stand you now. But you treated me well. You took care of everything else. Cooked it. But you didn't give me the roses. I always thought that was very weird.
Uh-huh.
Very strange. You know. Or the size of the ring.
Yeah.
If you're rich, you can buy a nice engagement ring or a wedding ring. I'm not against it if you're a rich person. But, you know, they would compare. Look at the rock that my fiance gave me. What did you get? Oh, you got a little stinky little thing over there. He don't like it too much, does he? No, he doesn't have that much money. Oh, all right. But he should have at least took a loan out from Jaime the Jew, and then you could have got a little bit of a bigger ring, and then you're in hock, Jaime the Jew, just because your wife doesn't, or fiance doesn't think you love her. Because you gave her a puny little, and it was zirconium anyway. It was fake. Don't take it to the guy and check it out. It looks good. These things I always hated. I don't equate love to that. I'm not against giving people, if you want nice rings, I'm not against nice rings. You could have nice rings. I like that. But it's just, they equate it with love. You understand? It's a very weird thing. And what about poor people, you know? And all that. But, we do give flowers to our Blessed Mother to embellish and all that. So, I'm not totally against it, but you got to be careful how you handle that stuff. You know, it's really weird. You know, would you give your wife, if she's like a real, if she's a bad wife, you give her stinkweeds? You give her stinkweeds. Remember the movie with the Spanish kids out of Mexico, and he got the little desert flowers?
Oh, yeah.
And they were like little stinkweed flowers because he didn't have anything else. He goes, if you're going to meet this girl and you want to make a good impression with her, you have to give her flowers.
Yeah.
You have no flowers? Let me kind of try to get some flowers. So he picks these desert flowers all nasty, and he goes, give her these flowers.
Don't forget the flowers.
That was a great movie.
Oh,
it was baseball.
Perfect
game. Catherine.
Perfect game.
Go ahead.
The Perfect Game. I only watched it there 2 weeks ago.
Oh,
that's good. Feel good movie. One of them feel good ones.
It's a classic.
Yeah, feel good movie.
It's a really good movie.
That's great.
Catherine Macon would like that.
Yeah.
It's a great movie, you know, really great movie. The Perfect Game.
Yeah.
Really good movie. Yeah, it goes to show you, too, how the Mexicans are more simple.
Yeah.
The way he lived down here and all that, you know.
Yeah.
It's a great, great movie.
That is.
So we gave a little bit of a lecture now here anyway, as I always do. I have to check that out. Yeah, go ahead.
He said game with G or aim?
Oh, game with G. The Perfect Game.
Yeah,
yeah, you'll like
it. It's a true story about a Little League group out in Monterrey, Mexico. It was in the 1950s, and they came up, and they actually won the Little League World Series Championship in the United States.
Great, great movie.
It's a true story. It's really good, though.
And it shows you the simple life of Mexico.
Exactly.
That's why I really think that most of the people work in the converter from South America and Mexico, not the United States. The United States is full of vainglorious, spoiled brat, rich people. Now, the problem in South America is Santeria Bruja. You got problems there. But the poverty keeps them more humble. The women are not as feminist. The men are more manly. The United States is going to be really rough. And that's why we're really close to Mexico here. I mean, how long does it take us to get to the border in Juarez? Like an hour and a half? And we're in Mexico.
Yeah, right.
I've gone in there. I told you many times. It's like a third world country. But there's more humility. I really see more potential of converting Mexicans and South Americans than the United States people. Because the United States people are just spoiled brats, vain. I don't know. I'm not saying we're not going to convert some people here. We are, but I think more from that area. But that movie is good, though. Anyway, it's a great movie. Really good. And it's a true story, too, on top of it, which is amazing. The Perfect Game. Now, what do we got here? I think that's it. Anything else we're missing there, Phil? I missed anything or what? Oh, okay, yeah, I am missing something. I'm missing something, Phil. You didn't remind me. What is it, Phil? What am I missing? Everybody should know what I'm missing.
Memorization verse.
Memorization verse. Brother Nick said it. He owes me $10. Chick, chick, bing. By the time it's all done, you're going to be broke. Every one of you. He owes me $10. All right. This is the memorization verse on the faith before the mass. And this is one of my favorite ones, too. I hated the assembly of the malignant, and with the wicked I will not sit. Now, I was going to bring in the verse before it, but if you want, you can go to that verse. The one before it's good, too, but I wanted to not make it too long, but I hated the assembly of the malignant, and with the wicked I will not sit. Now, I get the Bible. I'll show you verse 4, which is good, too, but if you want to go to the Bible and you want to memorize more of it, you could, but I think that's sufficient without... Now, last week I had to put that whole one in there because it was so powerful. That was the premier, Faith Before the Mass. This one, when you're looking at... See, the verse 4 goes like this. I have not sat with the council of vanity, neither will I go in with the doers of unjust things. I have hated the assembly of the malignant, and with the wicked I will not sit. And he goes, I will wash my hands among the innocent and will compass thy altar, O Lord. That's why 1 Corinthians 5:11, St. Paul says, an obstinate mortal sinner who's a faithful, a member of the church, you don't even eat with them. Even a member of the church who's an obstinate mortal sinner, you don't eat with that guy. It's a minor excommunication. And whereas you can eat with a pagan, because he's not, you know, you're not scandalized. A pagan's not a member of the church. When you're a member of the church, you have a thing to live up to. So anyway, that was the last one for that category. Unless somebody, I usually three or four. I try to keep it at three, but if I come up with a fourth one, maybe. But I think we got some pretty good ones in there about proving faith before the Mass and sacraments. Now, okay, we're going to add, Mateos is looking for a job, and I don't know if he's going to get it or not, but we're going to pray for him, especially just mention him this week, that if God get him a good job, you know, Mateos. He had an interview for something this week, but I don't know how it went. Maybe he doesn't know yet, but he did.
What type of field does he like? Like what kind of?
I don't know. Well, whatever. We'll have to pray to God to direct him to what kind of job. See, you got to be careful what kind of job you get out there anyway. What can you do? You know, simple jobs. I mean, if you do something too complicated where it's a white collar job, forget about it. You got to be woke and politically correct. If you're picking chili peppers like Will was, no problem. Chili peppers don't fight back. You can say whatever you want to the chili pepper. It doesn't take no offense. You can talk about the Jews all you want. Go ahead, Will. Talk about the and choose all you want while you're picking the chili peppers, but don't you dare talk about them in public. But you know, Will told me a story once. He's talking about the Jews and the chili peppers, and they wilted. They would wilt in front of him. And the chili pepper said, "I agree, Will. Don't mention that name. I can't stand it. I just got to wilt." They ruined the whole world, even us chili peppers. The whole world rages out against me, wicked. So, anyway, the type of job you get, that's a difficult thing nowadays.
Yeah.
But there's jobs you could get. Laborer jobs, but the more you get into like white collar stuff, forget about it. You know, they're going to make you accept the homo agenda. You're going to have to use pronouns, transgender crap, and all this. So anybody looking for a job today really needs prayers. And ranching, you know, taking care of animals and stuff like that.
Holy God, we praise thy name. Lord above, we bow before thee. All on earth thy scepter claim. All in heaven above.
Divine Messiah, page 9 in our books, page 13 in Mary's Catholic hymnal. So it's page 9 for us, page 13 for you. All
right. O come Divine Messiah.
O come Divine Messiah. Ready?
And he's not the Yanunka.
Exactly.
Yeah. What an insult, huh?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I know, boy.
I
know.
That's why I wanted to
This is good. I don't know what the Christian Zionists think when they see that kind of stuff. You know, you want to go over to Israel and meet this guy? Oh, Mr. Christian Zionist, I want you to meet our Messiah. Here he is. Shake his hand and kiss his ass. Unbelievable.
Ready?
Yeah.
Oh, come, Divine Messiah, the world in silence waits a day when hope shall sing its triumph and sadness flee away. Dear Savior, haste, come to earth, dispel the night, and show thy face, and bid us hail the dawn of grace. O come, Divine Messiah, the world in silence waits the day, when hope shall sing its triumph, and sadness flee away. O thou whom nations sigh for, whom priests and prophets long foretold, will break the captive's fetters, redeem the long-lost foe. Save us from peril and from woe. Mother of Christ, Star of the Sea, pray for the wanderer, pray for me. O gentle, chaste, and spotless maid, we sinners make our prayers through thee. Remind thy Son that he has paid the price of our iniquity. Virgin most pure, star of the sea, pray for the sinner, pray for me. And while to him who reigns above, in Godhead one, in persons three, the source of life, of grace, of love, homage we pay on bended knee. Do thou, right queen, star of the sea, pray for thy children, pray for me.
That's good, you caught that. Yeah. I figured one of us would. Yeah. That
was it. All right, Hail Holy Joseph, Hail.
Page 24 in our book.
Yeah, 26 in your...
26 in the other book.
Yeah.
Hail, Holy Joseph, hail, chaste spouse of Mary, hail, pure as the lily flower, in Eden's peaceful veil. Hail, Holy Joseph, hail, Prince of the House of God. May his best graces be by thy sweet hands bestowed. Hail, Holy Joseph, hail, teach us our flesh to tame. And Mary, keep the hearts that love thy spouse's name. Mother of Jesus, bless, and bless ye saints on high, all meek and simple souls that to Saint Joseph cry.
The great Saint Joseph.
Right.
All right, end of the mass prayers, and you can stop it, and then we'll restart it for the lecture. Now I can sit in a soft chair. Look at this. I'm going to take it over from him now. Ah, you lost it. You kept it warm for me, at least. All right, is it going?
Yeah, it's going.
Okay, mine's a little bit of a narrative, too. It's Acts 1, and... I usually pick out just certain verses and stuff, but this one you kind of have to go through otherwise, so it'll take a little bit.
Hit us with a verse, Brother Bruce.
All right. Until the day on which, giving commandments by the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he was taken up, this is his resurrection, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many proofs, for 40 days appearing to them and speaking of the kingdom of God. And eating together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but should wait for the promise of the Father, whom you have heard, saith he, by my mouth. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. They therefore who were come together asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at that time restore again the kingdom of Israel? But he said to them, it is not for you to know the time or moments which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had said these things, while they looked on, he was raised up, and cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were beholding him going up to heaven, behold, two men stood by them in white garments, who also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand you looking up to heaven? This Jesus, who is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come as you have seen him going into heaven. So we'll know exactly how he's going to appear.
Exactly right. He's going to come from heaven. Yeah. He's not going to be on earth already like this. Unless he's going to, like... fly up into heaven. You know, you can have a devil take him up to heaven, make him look like he's come down, you know. Lift him up, bring him down. Who knows what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Well, we already know he's on Earth, right? Yeah, right. So they'd have to lift him up and say, well, you must have came down already. Did you come down or were you up?
Yeah.
Now, they don't believe that the Messiah is God anyway.
Yeah, yeah right, exactly. They don't.
So they don't think he believes he's coming down. They think he's born just as a man.
Yeah.
A man who's, is inspired by God in a great way. That's what they don't. So they don't even believe in that.
Yeah.
You're right. That's why I say one of the signs what God told us right there, you'll see him coming from heaven, like lightning from east to the west.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
This guy's like already, he's going to promote himself on earth. There's no, you have to see him like a lightning bolt and then land on earth or something.
Yeah.
A dramatic thing. But they don't believe that. See, that's why he can't do that even.
Yeah.
If they did that, they'd have to admit that he's an angel or he's God. But they really believe he's actually just a man who's imbibed with the Spirit of God to the highest degree.
Right.
Yeah.
Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount that is called Olivet, which is nigh Jerusalem within a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had come in, they went up to the upper room where abode Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Jude, the brother of James. All these were persevering with one mind in prayer, with the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. So the mother of God was right there, being in their presence. That must have been a really wonderful thing.
In one mind, too.
In one mind.
One faith.
Yeah.
Not 20 churches.
That's right.
20 groups. He had to go to all 20 groups that day. He didn't go to just one, right? There must have been like 20 different rooms that he went to, Spread out all over Jerusalem, if there's 20 different churches, right? And if there's one church in the beginning with one mind, then how could you have all these other churches? How could they all be accurate, you see? There's so much that condemns Protestants. Like, it's no, really, the Protestants are big liars as the Jews.
That's right.
You know, it's liars too. You know? Yeah, they're lying about the New Testament. The Jews are lying about the Old Testament.
Yeah.
You know, and in a sense, the Protestants have, you can say, they have the New Testament that confirms the Old. So, like, who's the worst liar? I don't know. It's up for grabs. Nominal Catholics, too. They're on the top of the list. They're worse than the Protestants.
Yeah.
They're worse than Protestants, nominal Catholics. Because now they're saying you can believe in anything.
Yeah.
You can be a Buddhist. You can be a Christ-denying Jew. The denial of salvation to offer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What's the purpose of him having one mind in one church when a Jew who denies and hates Christ can be in a way salvation and die and go to heaven? Why become Catholic?
Yeah.
What's the purpose of the church?
It abrogates the whole Old Testament and
everything.
All being faithful Jews.
The salvation dogma is the pinnacle of everything.
Yeah.
It really is. When they started to deny the salvation dogma, it's a complete denial of Jesus Christ and everything. The whole church, everything goes down. What's the purpose of anything? No reason to evangelize anymore also?
Yeah.
Like we always say, why even want to be a Catholic these days? What good does that mean?
Yeah. It's even more difficult if you wanted to be a true Catholic than it would be to be like a Protestant who says, like Luther.
Yeah, already said.
Just believe in Jesus, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
In those days, Peter rising up in the midst of his brethren, the importance of Peter now being the one rising up, now the number of persons together was about 120.
Why, they're doing better than us.
Yeah.
They only had 120 in the beginning of the church, and you people laugh at us over here. Laugh all you want, okay? Because we only got 3 people in the church, all right? 10 maybe. All right, I lied. No, I didn't lie. It was a nine-simple falsehood. It was a mistake. I might not be accurate, so we only have 10. Right? They played a numbers game, right?
Yeah.
We're going to grow, but, when you think about that, the church started out with 123 people in an upper room. And that's why when God starts to move, we're going to have our Pentecost Day, too. And from that, a small group of people, which maybe you're getting an idea, we're going to grow a little bit to get some people to help us before God does any big miracles. Because if he did right now, they'd be knocking the doors down, and we're not able to handle it.
Yeah.
So God, God is a master. Right. Will said here somebody, we're talking about it, when God paves the road, it's easy.
Oh, I get it. Exactly.
Yeah, we were talking about something
in
relation to something about
Fuentes
and all that. Yeah, when he paved the road for them.
Yeah, right, exactly.
When God paves the road, it's easy.
Yeah.
And if it's too difficult, then wait till God paves the road.
Exactly.
He told them to wait.
Sure.
And we're waiting. There's another verse I read that's very, I like. It says, do the work
in your time, and he will reward you in his time. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, work the work ahead of time. That's the actual work.
Yeah.
Work the work ahead of time, and he will reward you in his time. I look at my work as all that.
Yeah.
All that. I mean, all that work's there. And whenever the time is right, that God wants it to get you, God's the one. I mean, if God ever let this become like a big miracle, like even now we're not ready. But let's say he did it like a couple years ago when I didn't finish the professional. I'm done. Even now you can see I can't write as much as I was before because I'm almost done with everything. But if this happened, I'm done. I can't write no more. It's all over. I can't get the work out for you. They're going to say, Richard, where's your Bible? Richard, where's the professional? I don't have it yet. And if I keep getting 15,000 emails a day and I got people coming on my door, I'm never going to get it done. You see how God's perfect timing, perfect timing. And he waits till I get it all right, too, because I didn't have everything all right in the beginning. I had to study. I had to look. I had to get the information. Sometimes you get wrong information. Then you put all the pieces together when you study all these different angles. It's a wonderful miracle that God's doing here and restoring the faith. And that's why I say, people, you want to disrespect me after looking at the work, get far away from me then, because you don't care about the faith. How else are you going to judge anybody? Anybody. I don't care how many miracles I do, he does, you do. If I don't show proof of it by the faith that we're teaching and the way we're living, then it means nothing. And if you see the faith and you see the work and you want no part of it, then get away from me. I get out. I don't need you. You need us. They need us. They don't like to hear it tough. You need us. I'm going to be someone, can't you wait till we go before the judge or something? You go, hey, Your Honor, I'm going to just, before I say anything, you need us, I don't need you, okay? All right? If my God wants to kill you, you're dead right now, everybody in this room, okay? If he sees fit. So let's get that right off the table right now. And he's like, this guy's crazy. He's, yeah, no, I mean it, Your Honor. I'm not fooling around. I'm not crazy either. You want to? And then when God strikes me.
I know.
Oh, I'm going to feel like I'm 20 years old again.
Yeah, there's a lot maybe of judges out there that need that kind of action.
Well, that's what we need.
Yeah.
Without that, we're going nowhere.
Exactly.
Because it's always, our God can kick the ass off of your God. Yeah. That's really what it is. Our God is the most powerful, not your God.
Yeah.
And God manifests his power such. But is he going to manifest his power with anybody who doesn't have the Catholic faith? That's why we haven't heard much of your Catholic God's power many years now. Like almost 1,000 years now he's been playing possum.
Yeah.
He's not going to show his power to these freaks. No. But he's the devil's showing his power to a lot of these people, giving them a confidence in their false religions.
Oh, yeah.
Antichrist, right, he's going to be doing a lot of stuff too, ain't he?
Yeah.
Well, he's doing signs and wonders and all this kind of stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, that verse, Acts 1, that Bruce read there, that kind of put to bed all the false apparitions of Christ appearing. Like, according to these seers, he's come back there for like 1,000 times, you know?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying. Because he's coming down talking to them. He's always coming down. Appearing to them, speaking to them. You know, I always have a big problem with that, you know? About, and they're getting so intimate, you know? And then it gets like... Even when the Blessed Mother, these false apparitions of Mary, what a blasphemy that is.
Yeah.
It was given Antichrist power to blaspheme Mary, Christ, and the saints, and that's through these false apparitions.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mary's slain blasphemy, that's false Mary saying blasphemous things.
Yeah.
And they're curious. They want to know, like, what kind of dress did she wear, what kind of stuff. If they're trying to learn stuff that they're not supposed to know unless God wants it, you know, when you go to heaven, you know?
Yeah.
But they want to have that special privilege that Jesus Christ is coming down, like Dermot just said. He's coming down and speaking to me directly. I don't have to listen to the church anymore because I got a pipeline right to Christ and right to Mary.
Yeah, and I mean, all he tells you that is Christ, you know, God, Father only knows the hour. You know, so they wanted to know, well, when is he going to take care of Israel here, you know, and the Romans?
Oh, yeah.
And he's saying they sell him. That's for God.
Well, what they're trying to do, a lot of these false apparitions, they're trying to hold back the hour, if anything.
Yeah.
They don't want the last day. Oh, my son's hand is ready to descend. How long have we been waiting for that, right? And, the Blessed Mother's holding it back. I can't hold it back much longer. And this has been going on for years, you know?
Yeah.
Like that guy, Mara Lansky, had a heart attack for 20 years. But he never had a heart attack. He always goes, it's just bringing the strength, but the Blessed Mother's holding it back. Because they don't want the second coming.
Yeah.
They hate you to talk about the second coming. They want mercy for everybody. Yeah, exactly. Everyone's saved. They hear somebody like me talk and they panic.
Yeah. Yeah.
They can't. I'm vicious. No, you're not merciful. Mary will condemn you. Mary will crush you, Richard, for speaking like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So they're a bunch of mushmeats.
Yeah.
And they got, and look, this Mary tells, like, the one in Medjugorje, you know, like Muslims are saved.
Yeah.
God respects Muslims, they're in heaven and all this. I mean, even Fatima, that's a sneaky one, though. Yeah, but when you look at the evidence, it's not sneaky.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, what do you mean the faith's going to be kept in Portugal? There ain't nobody no faith in Portugal. Secondly, Russia's the big bad guy.
Yeah.
Not the United States and Western democracies. And not Israel?
Yeah.
Russia? Yeah. Russia? Okay. Russia?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? And what about the apostate antipopes?
Yeah.
Pedophilia. The heresies we exposed in, from the great apostasy. She says nothing?
Yeah.
Nothing?
No.
See, the reason we accept the Immaculate Conception one with the miraculous medal, the only purpose of that apparition was doctrinal. Mm-hmm. Period.
Yeah.
She came to say she's the Immaculate Conception. She didn't come to preach about political.
Yeah.
If she did, she would have told you. She just wanted to establish her Immaculate Conception during those apparitions. That's why we believe in
Lords.
And Guadalupe, too. Guadalupe's purpose was to convert the Americans.
Yeah. Right.
It wasn't a political statement.
But also because the apostate popes at the time, they're apostates.
That's right.
She had to confirm
it. And also knowing that for two reasons.
Yeah.
First, because we're going to find out they're apostate anti-popes anyway,
right.
So his infallible definition wasn't infallible. Secondly, because of the great influence that dumb ox Aquinas had over people, because he denied the Immaculate Conception, which at that time, it was even now still allowable opinion, because the definition wasn't there, but he was a big influence in people denying the Immaculate Conception, because they idolized Thomas. Mm-hmm. They think everything he did was great.
Mm-hmm.
The guy was a monster.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you got there?
God allowed that pronouncement to be made as a curse for all the nominal Catholics, I believe.
What was that you said?
God allowed it.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
A curse for
it's an operation of error.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
2 Thessalonians, Antichrist is coming according to the power of Satan and all lying signs and wonders and all seduction of iniquity to them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth. Therefore, God shall send them the operation of error to believe lying, that all may be judged who have not consented, believe the truth, but have consented to iniquity. Mm-hmm. So he's allowing this as a curse, as a false apparitions to seem like they're heavenly, full of heresies and lies, because the people are worthy of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're worthy of it, because they want it.
Yeah.
He's given what they want. You want it? That's what you got.
Yeah.
If you're not going to judge them according to the faith, you're dead. The faith is the only thing that defends you against all these, even us. We're going to do miracles. We certainly are. But people are going to have to look at what we're believing, what we're teaching. Mm-hmm. Compare us to the knucklehead over there.
Yeah.
When he starts doing his miracles.
Yeah.
Or even these other religions.
Yeah, right.
Men, brethren, the scripture must needs be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke for the mouth of David concerning Judas, who was a leader of them that apprehended Jesus, who was numbered with us and had obtained part of his ministry, and obtained part of this ministry. And he indeed hath possessed a field of the reward of iniquity, and being hanged, burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the same field was called in their tongue Haseldama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let their habitation become desolate, and let there be none to dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Well, the prophecies are so perfect, aren't they?
Today, what's bad today is these people don't have the bishoprics and they think they do.
Yeah.
That's the biggest deception of all. These guys are running around calling themselves Catholic bishops, and they're not. They don't have the office.
Right.
They're antipopes.
That's, right.
That's another operation of error. How's that one?
Yeah.
You know? And if you think a desecration in a church is okay, let's just go with that. And you see Jupiter on the door, Apollo's inside, they're glorifying him, and you think that's okay?
Yeah.
You're worthy to be deceived.
Yeah.
You're worthy.
Yeah.
You're worthy of following apostate antipopes and apostate bishops. You're worthy. Your kids are worthy of being raped and pillaged and plundered. Yeah. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
I said, because you forgot my law, I will forget your children. Yeah. OC 4.
Yeah.
6, because you did not like knowledge, because you did not have the faith. You will no longer do the office of priesthood to me. And I will forget, and because you forgot the law of your God, I will forget your children. Mm-hmm. This is all a curse from God that's going on here.
Yeah.
And the only way out is the true Catholic faith that we're teaching right now.
Yeah.
Which means you got to go back to what we said to the Renaissance time, the greatest apostasy started in the 11th century. You look at the evidence, it's staring you in the face. And you look at it and you deny it, you're a liar.
Yeah.
A bold-faced liar.
Yeah.
And God, if you look at it, And God's going to only give you a certain amount of time to accept it. If you don't, then he pulls all his grace away, and then you're just stuck in your lies, one after another, and you'll never get out.
Yeah.
Never. And that's a scary thing when people, it's a sin against the Holy Spirit, that God knows when you do. When you reach that point where God no longer gives you his grace anymore because you lied so much, mm-hmm. and you haven't accepted, which you don't want to accept that evidence. You deserve, like I said, with the people who think just these Vatican II anti-popes are the anti-popes, just them.
Yeah.
Like the apostate Diamond Brothers. And they show their crimes. But then when we go back and show the same crimes and worse by the Renaissance anti-popes, and they deny it. How, either they're all popes or they're not popes. Take your choice. You want them all to be popes? Is that what you want? Any good Catholic in his right mind won't want none of these guys to call him a Holy Father. We got the teachings that prove they're not popes. So you can't have it both ways. So they ignore the Diamond Brothers. The people that follow them, they ignore all the evidence I got out there. You look at it, and you tell me one thing. Am I lying? They don't even look at it because they know I'm not lying. They can't refute it. It's there. The greatest thing is the pictures in the church are still there. If you think I just doctored up the Vatican pictures on the doors, the Filaretti doors, go on, get a plane flight over to Rome and go there with your own camera and take the picture and tell me if I lied about it. And if I didn't, you tell me it's okay to have these naked pictures and morality, gross disformity and pagan gods and so-called churches? You see why God has cursed these people all these years? And I tell you something, the people who listen to us, the reason they don't want to look at it, it's like they know we're telling the truth, but they don't want to address it. Because they're committing one or two mortal sins obstinately. They don't want to give up. They like this new mushy teddy bear God. They got used to him because they can smack him around. They can tell him whatever they want to do. And they don't want to obey the true God. One or more of his commandments. And they don't want to obey anybody, too. It's a lot of democracy crap, too. Because I got to now obey somebody. I got to obey the church. I got to obey God.
Yeah. Watch Rick Steves and watch him show all the naked statues and all the pictures and paintings and stuff.
And he likes them, too.
Yeah.
He likes them. It's pretty weird.
Yeah, it's like
I think he's a Lutheran, too. But
he is.
And you go, I give him credit. He goes to these Catholic churches.
Yeah.
He does have a good, like, travel stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to look at Europe and stuff, I got his whole collection.
Yeah.
But you're right. He goes into these churches and loves.
Yeah.
Because he's a liberal. He loves immorality.
Yeah.
The naked pictures and, you know.
Yeah.
He's rebellious, and he just he's the one that gave us the in Spain, which I think Irina, if she's Irina, are you online? Can you hear me still? Is she online?
She's online. Yeah.
When you were in Spain, did you get to see what was that church we had that was desecrated in Spain? Salamanca or what? University, but the church with the facade had all these false gods on it. It's still down till today.
Yeah.
It's Compostela. Is it St. James Compostela?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
She's trying to speak.
Go ahead,
Irina. Yeah, and in Spain I noticed a lot of desecrated churches.
Yeah.
Like I don't remember the names, but I have pictures, and I think my phone saves the pictures together with the location.
Yeah.
So if necessary, I can look it up.
Yeah, look it up and send me a catalog of it. Because I can just add, it's just like a supplement. It's a supplement to my book. But that is,
Santiago de Compostela, right? That's,
I think at the facade.
Romanesque architecture.
Yeah, when they did the, we got the history in the desecration book.
And they got
When you look at Philip II, the guy was a slob.
Yeah.
Naked pictures of Venus,
yeah.
Filthy pictures. Venus was a false goddess anyway.
Yeah.
False gods, and he loved this stuff.
Yeah.
And we wonder why he lost when he was going into war against Queen Elizabeth I in England, who was an Anglican. And you said, why did God allow that? Because he was worse than her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they weren't good neither, but he was worse. Mm-hmm. And he was borrowing money from Jews, too, to build his fleet at usury rate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, I used to think that was a hero.
God himself wiped him out. I mean, it was the way that wiped him out.
A storm. That's God.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's God. You know? Now, sometimes the devil can do that with Job and all that, but then there's a trial there. Job wasn't like going fighting against something.
No.
This is where, you know, it's clearly God not allowing this, because you're saying God really was saying the Anglicans, evil as they are, and they're evil, they're not as bad as the nominal Catholics.
Yeah.
You're not worthy to conquer them,
because
you're worse.
Exactly.
And then you're going to perpetuate a false Catholicism.
Exactly.
Yeah, right. That's it.
Who's Joe Biden?
Yeah.
Nancy Pelosi? Who are they going to conquer? No.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi, are they going to conquer for the Catholic Church? God's going to give them a victory?
Yeah.
And is that a Catholic victory?
I know.
A true Catholic victory?
Nah.
Yeah, but this is what you're looking at.
Yeah.
All right. One
else. Beginning from the baptism of John until the day wherein he was taken up from us, one of these must be made a witness with
how
us
much more do you
of
have
his
to
resurrection. Just a couple.
Okay.
And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justice, and Matthias. And praying they said, Thou, Lord, who knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen to take the place of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas hath by transgression fallen, that he might go to his own place. And they gave them lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. In other words, it's an act of the church right there at the last. You know, that's them deciding who was going to fill that vacancy.
That's
you
right.
Know?
It wasn't. Exactly. The church makes that decision. Yeah. One church.
Yeah.
If you have 20 different churches, they're going to choose 20 different guys to take the one position.
Yeah.
But in each different church.
Yeah.
The whole thing. It's you know.
It's beautiful in Acts the way the church
anyway, the,
manifests
say,
itself.
The biggest thing you can say about like our Lord is all men are liars.
Yeah.
Now, a lie is a sinful falsehood. Yeah. And we don't support that. All right, thanks, Brother Bruce. See what you started?
You're right.
Yes.
Praise God.
Scriptures are full of great things. We could be here forever. Let's save another 5 hours, brother. One guy said, once your behind starts to get a little sore from sitting, then you went a little bit too long.